Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to everyone. It's good that we are here together, and together we will experience God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. And today is our last great white feast day before we hit the color of green and stay there for, oh, what will seem like forever. And today we remember, dedicate this day to the mystery of the Holy Trinity. So let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I invite us all now to stand for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us, even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Almighty Creator and ever-living God, We worship your glory, eternal, three in one. And we praise your power, majestic, one in three. Keep us steadfast
in this faith. Defend us in all adversity. And bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And this is the point where we invite our children forward for a children's sermon. And barring all of our children on vacation, welcome my children. Well, it's Trinity Sunday, so I have the wonderful opportunity to try and explain the Trinity. Now, of course, the only way to explain the Trinity without being somewhat heretical is to say nothing, so bear with me. But I have three ropes. It's a small rope, a long rope, and a medium rope to try and demonstrate this. So again, bear with me. But if we take our long rope and our short rope, and remember we always opt to keep the medium length rope as well. What do we have? We have three ropes. Well, Athanasius, when trying to explain the Trinity, explain it this way. It's one God, right? So remember the Father, the Creator, is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. And the Spirit is not the Father. So that leaves us with three ends here, three ends here. But that's not at all equal, so let's just bind that up together. So we have three ropes, two sets of three ends. Someone do the math. What does that make? That makes, if you're curious, one equally length rope. Right? So the mystery of the Spirit, the Trinity, is simply that we have three persons, one Godhead. And of course, we want to count this out too to make sure I'm not cheating, but we got one rope, two ropes, three ropes, all of the same length. Wow. Now remember, though, what did I say that Athanasius said? Athanasius point, one God, but remember, the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. And so, one Godhead with three distinct people. Let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. One, two, three. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being three in one.
Thank you for being three in one.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a hard act to follow. I left something. The first reading is from the 8th chapter of Proverbs, beginning with the first verse. Beginning with the first verse. Hear now the word. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of the acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. And when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, and before the hills, I was brought up. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race.
Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll be singing the psalm this morning is found on page 6 of your bulletin. I'll begin with the light print. Please join and follow and sing along with the bold print. Psalm 8. Majestic is your name in all the earth.
Whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children. You have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars you have set in their courses.
What are you?
You have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field,
the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The second reading is from the chapter of Romans, beginning with the first verse. Now hear the word. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we have also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Thanks be to God.
With chanting the gospel on our high feast days, and this will be the last time for, as I said, what will seem like forever for us to attempt this. So let us begin. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is for this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, we have arrived at the Holy Trinity Sunday. As I said, or as I said before, it's the only Sunday in our liturgical year dedicated to a church doctrine. And this, of course, creates the tension. Because you can't really explain the Trinity. Our goal of a good preacher on Holy Trinity Sunday isn't to explain the Trinity, but to offer us a way of participation into the mystery. And so I propose to you today that the fundamental mystery today is, how is multiplicity held within unity? How is the multiplicity of saying God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How are the three persons not three gods, but one God? One God with three persons, not one person. And I know when I say that, everyone throws up their hands and says, how can I participate in that? But friends, as I try to say often, God is the ultimate fractal or pattern for all of the world. And so to understand the mystery of God, you only need to look at the pattern of all things. And when you do, you start to see that all of reality is a reflection of this mystery. The many being held in unity. How are the many trees and plants one forest? How is many people in a family one family? How are many, many, many people in a geographical location one nation? As Pete beautifully led us a few weeks ago, he had a great analogy of the orchestra. How are many different musicians in an orchestra playing like one? How does a sports team with many players, and they're successful, we say what? They play like one. The mystery is how is the multiplicity held in unity? And there's no greater way of understanding that, maybe, than this mystery that we call the church. How many churches are out there, friends? Thousands upon thousands, it might seem. But there is but one church, because Christ's body is not divided, but one. And so, there's a mystery, friends. How do we participate as the many into the one? And for a little bit now, I want to draw out the analogy there of the church for a little bit. Because there's something really exciting that I wanted to share with you guys. And I've been waiting till the Trinity Sunday to do it. But that's our existence, too, as the church, throughout our long history of the church, has been division or unity. And the Lutheran World Federation for a long time, or I would say the Lutheran movement in general, has been there to say we're actually one church. We're certainly a reform movement, but the success of the Lutheran movement is when there is but one church. We're successful when we no longer have to be. And to that end, Lutherans have always been at the forefront of ecumenical dialogues. And we have agreements with lots of churches, various different levels of agreements that some of them allow us to share clergy and communion. Others with the Roman Catholic Church are more just on doctrinal consensus on some points. And recently, the Lutheran Church World Federation and the Orthodox Church have come together with a statement. And you're going to have to bear with me for a moment. I just have to do a little bit of history. 100 years ago, and we just celebrated the anniversary of this, the first great council of the churches met in a town called Nicaea. And they came up with this thing called the Nicene Creed. And it's in our hymnal. And originally, when they wrote this creed, they had this word about the procession of the Spirit. And it said, the Spirit proceeds from the Father. And then the Latin church went one way, and the Greek-speaking world went another way, and the Western church had some other issues that they had to deal with. And so we as the Western Church added a phrase, "and the Son," to this creed. So the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And that "and the Son" in Latin is called the Filioque. Now we might think this is a small thing, it's just a little bit of a phrase, but as you know, sometimes in families, the smallest little thing can create the biggest division. And so for almost 1,700 years, the East and the West have been quite divided, issuing condemnations towards one another, because at the sense, each feels the other does not believe in the Trinity, believe in the equality and unity of all of the Trinity. And so for many, 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 many years, there have just been condemnations back and forth. But the Lutheran World Federation has just released a statement with the Orthodox Church. After 40 years, they've been studying this issue for 40 years, friends. Sometimes agreements take a long time. Sometimes healing takes a long time. But they, in essence, have said this. We both agree now, after 1,700 years, that we both believe in the Trinity. We're all together in one unity with that. And the Lutheran World Federation is recommending that to foster unity in the entire church, that Lutheran churches say in the Nicene Creed, no longer say the Filioque. So that is "and the Son." So we've been asked, when we say the Nicene Creed, and I know everyone in the pew right now is thinking, I don't remember the last time we've said the Nicene Creed. I know you're thinking that. This has probably been a long time, if ever, because creeds are kind of, they're good and they're bad, right? They have a sense of making us think that what it means to be Christian is all what we think. You know, Christ said many things, commanded his followers to do many things when he was here. I don't think any of those were believe a certain thing. So creeds have their place, but they also are problematic. And this creed specifically is also problematic because it's very steeped in Greek philosophy, and there's a lot of things that just kind of seem weird to us moderns. But it continues to be one of our creeds. And we are going to say it today. Not so that we can understand everything that's going on. Not so we can be intellectually superior to somebody else. But what I told you, it's about participating in unity. By saying this creed in its original form, we are raising our voices in hope and prayer and taking a step towards the unity of the whole church. So don't worry that it's a weird kind, it's going to sound weird to you if you've never read the Nicene Creed. This might just be a yearly tradition or maybe another 20 years before we say it again. But today we say it as a prayer that the work of the Spirit may unite us all at some point in the future as one church. That the multiplicity can be held in unity. And there we are back at the Trinity. And at maybe its core, we come to understand that God is love. And in the mystery of love and the mystery of Trinity are united. This Trinity is just trying to say this. In order to be love, you must have a lover. You must have a beloved. And the union of a lover and a beloved produces a third. So there's the Trinity right there, friends. That connection of lover, beloved, and love producing a third is what we say who God is. But the mystery is not that that is some pie in the sky God, but that one God is now the lover, and you are the beloved. So we come to church to be the beloved of God, to be the one who comes forward, the one who is washed, the one who is fed. But what did I say? The union of a lover and a beloved produces a third. And that, my friends, is always the pattern of worship. To come, be loved, but then to depart and be God's love for the world. So we are always supposed to be out there producing a third because of our love that has been encountered by God. The pattern is the same pattern. God loves us so that we can love others. So friends, come to the table. There is but one baptism. As Paul would say, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. No matter how many different fonts are out there in the world, or rivers, or oceans, there is but one baptism. No matter how many times this loaf of bread is broken and divided, there is but one loaf. There is but one faith, one God. One body of Christ. Come, participate in this mystery. For in the love of God, we are welcomed in to the dance of love, the dance that is the Trinity. Amen.
Of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Spirit, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the church, the world, and all creation. Abiding God, your love pours into your whole church, creating faith and bestowing hope. Fill all the baptized with these good gifts in our various calling. Gather your church in every place and expression into the unity of your Spirit. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Creating God, your name is majestic in all the earth, and we are filled with awe at your creation. Renew this planet in all its wonders, springs abounding with water, earth and soil, beasts of the field, birds of the air, and fish of the sea. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, you delight in the human race. On this week of Juneteenth, bring an end to racial oppression and heal the wounds of racial trauma. Grant us your wisdom so that all people, especially those in authority, work for the life and freedom of others. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate God, your mindful care for us is everlasting. Give peace to all who are troubled, endurance to all who suffer, deliverance to all who are afflicted, and healing to all who are sick, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmeyer, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Julie, Paul, David, Scott Wilson family, Dean, Ricardo, Charles, Penelope, Mako, Mindy, and the victims of war and violence, victims of natural disaster in our nation and around the world, and also for those people we now name aloud or in our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Living God, your glory appears in our shared life. On this Father's Day, give to all fathers and father figures gentle hearts and strong spirits. Heal the wounds in our families and comfort those for whom this day brings pain. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, your hope does not disappoint. We give you thanks for all who have died in the hope of the resurrection, especially the Emmanuel Nine martyrs. Hold us in our grief and bring us at last to the fullness of life in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And I invite us now to come back together and please stand for our offering hymn. Let us pray. Creator God, in your wisdom you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Inseparable from you, through whom you created all things, and whom you take delight. He is your word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot, and was shown forth as your son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He is our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will, and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hand in suffering in order to free us from suffering those. He is the one who handed over to death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve as your priestly people. Send your spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one, let us pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are invited to come forward and partake of this. In a moment, the usher will come and we'll start on this side, and then we'll go to that side. And when the usher comes, we ask that you fill in our communion rail from right to left. Come with your hand extended to receive the bread in your hand. And then as the wine is passed around, we invite you to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to receive a blessing and not commune, you are also invited to come forward. Just come with your arms crossed. But know that whoever comes forward will receive at this table. For the love of God is poured out for us all. Amen.
Oh, let us see your world, Lord Jesus.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Mothering God, you gather us to your table, and we drink deeply of your grace. Send us by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause briefly for some announcements, and I remind everyone that our announcements are in that insert called the Words of the Week. And lots of things going on to this coming week. However, I just want to announce that I will be out of the office for the first part of the week. And so I will return on Friday. Now we have a leader for the prayer service on Wednesday, but we are going to postpone our beach walk on Thursday. And with that being said, look at all the other bulletins. I'm sure I am forgetting something. But the week after that, we'll have our barbecue, and so just pay attention to all the events going on. And with that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. The Triune God, who was, who is, and who is to come, Sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, light your way with the resurrection dawn, now and always. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. In Christ you are made new. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.